This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:16. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. We're now moving on to some news that has come out. Supposedly, Celcom Axiata and Digi are in advanced discussions to merge, and this will make them the largest mobile service provider here in Malaysia. So this got us thinking about what this will do to the telco industry, and also the larger idea of how mergers take place and what impact they have.
Yes, so this is going to, if this goes through, become Celcom Digi Berhad. The previous mega merger in 2019, or the proposed one, involved Axiata and Digi.com's Norwegian parent, Telenor, where they tried to merge their operations in the Asian region, but this fell through. You may remember, actually, it was huge business news at the time and highly anticipated. This time, however, the merger of these operations will be in Malaysia. And what this would mean is that they would together have 38% share of the market, and this would make them the largest telco provider in the country, ahead of Telecom and Maxis. The agreement as yet isn't binding. It is still subject to approvals from the shareholders of Celcom and Digi, and also the regulatory bodies. But they did volunteer to disclose their plans early in order to provide that level of transparency.
So this brings about a couple of questions, right? One, how it will impact the telco industry, but also in terms of whether this will then create basically a lion's share of the market and and result in a monopoly. And also largely the question of when a merger happens, how this impacts both the companies involved and a larger idea of how that industry will function. Let us know what you think. You can share your thoughts with us. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We now have joining us Karamjit Singh, who is the CEO of Digital News Asia. Thank you for joining us, Karamjit.
No problem. Welcome.
First off, what can you tell us about this merger and what it will entail?
I guess, well, actually, the details are all out there already in the public, right? So, but what the merger is going to entail is really, it is a competitive forces. So what has caused the merger? What the merger will entail is at some point, you know, when it happens, and I'm glad that both of you have clarified that it could happen, it could not happen, right? And even the CEO of Axiata said that, you know, it may not happen, although they're going to work their hardest to make sure that it does happen, right? Dato' Izzaddin Idris. So let's assume it happens, and what is it going to entail, and what caused it? So what's causing it is global competition, right? Because now you're not even looking at domestic competition. They look at Netflix as competition for them, right? And Facebook, and you've got Tencent and all these guys coming into the market. So the competition is global, and they even talk about it in their release, and you can see they're talking about global forces, you know, at play here, and they just want to strengthen their value proposition to the market and to their investors. This is what has happened. And on a macro level, you know, you both mentioned the earlier attempt to merge, right? So this is really the Telenor Axiata 2.0. 1.0 didn't succeed, so this is the 2.0 version of that now, and going for a smaller chunk, you know, one country operations, deliver the value of that, and maybe the parent companies from both sides will say, maybe we could go back and revisit 2019, but that's like 4 years down the road, so I don't want to jump the gun yet, right?
You know, in terms of strengthening the value proposition, yep, right, which is what we're talking about, can you help us understand why it makes good business sense for these companies to merge?
Sure. Well, you're gonna reduce the competition between, you know, two of the major players in the market, but it's not gonna be a monopoly. Yeah. So don't think that this is anywhere near a monopoly, because there's still, you know, three strong players out there, and if I'm discounting the MVNOs, your TuneTalks and whatnot. So there are a number of players out there. This is by no means a monopoly, but they're going to at least reduce the competition between the two of them. And actually, there's great synergy between them also. You look at Celcom, you know, it's very much still the perception, the belief is very much predominantly Malay market. And then you've got Digi, which is very much a predominantly Chinese market. So there's very little overlap between the customer base. So it's a very sweet merger in that sense, you're not going to end up losing a lot of customers. And when I say you're not going to lose a lot of customers, they've done, the smartest thing they've done is that, you know, both of them are going to keep their respective brands. They don't say that, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, we're going to consolidate this. You don't want to say that at all. So for the customers, as far as they're concerned, once this merger happens, you're not going to see any difference at all. Maybe the parent name changes, but on your phone, you're probably still going to see DG. You're going to see, Cellcom. So that's a smart thing they're doing there, anticipating this concern among customers and competitors coming and saying, hey, you know, come on, this is a different company now, you know, come over to our side.
What are some of the potential downsides to this merger?
Well, downsides, the upsides are easy, right? You know, I didn't answer you fully. Just quickly, consolidating means you've got two sets of senior leadership teams and overlapping positions. You're obviously going to consolidate that, and you can see there's only going to be one chairman, and, you know, that's going to go to Axiata. CEO is with Axiata. And then, you know, obviously then if DG has given up this, or Telenor has given up these two important positions, who's going to be the CTO? Who's going to be the CFO? And I probably would bet that the CTO, the Chief Technology Officer, and the CFO are going to come from Telenor. You know, because Telenor, if you know them, they are extremely maniacal about, you know, costs. And so they're very careful about costs. So they definitely want the CFO role. So this is going to benefit because you reduce your redundancies and costs. And that's a key value proposition that both of them see here.
So you said, you know, not a monopoly. You still have other strong players.
Not at all.
But how would this impact their foothold in the industry at large?
Well, okay, so I heard you say maybe I read it somewhere. But so look, it's going to be 19 million combined customer base, right? You've got a lot more customers there. You can obviously now stop competing with each other and just offer them better value proposition. And for sure, the customers will enjoy better coverage. Because now the two networks on the engineering level, they're going to work to make sure that there's very seamless, you know, coverage between their two networks. They're going to work closely together. So customers will probably see a much better customer experience from a network quality point of view. And actually, both chairmen actually also mentioned that you're going to be able to deliver a much better quality of customer experience to them, right? Higher quality. So you're going to enjoy that at the technical level. Then at the customer service level, I don't really know. You know, you've got two sets of customer service people. How are they going to merge that and consolidate that? But you assume they're going to get that right also. Because if they don't, you know, U-Mobile is waiting and Maxis is waiting there, right, to snap at the heels and grab those customers.
Now, as we talked about earlier, there were plans back in 2019 for this merger to happen. And the idea was to expand into 9 different countries as a telco giant, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
What are some of the reasons that didn't happen? And how are things being approached differently this time around?
So fear. The reason why it didn't happen earlier was fear, especially on the Malaysian side, that there would be big job losses especially in Malaysia, like, because Axiata is also a regional company, right? They're one of the largest telcos in the world. But the fear on the political side was job losses here with Cellcom, Axiata. Even though on the plus side, you know, they're going to open up a global innovation center here. That really got me excited. As a technology journalist, I could see so much value from that being based in Malaysia. And that didn't happen. So that, to answer your question, it was a fear factor. And strictly on the politics side, right? So that's what happened. So how did overcome this? Like I said, this is now a smaller bite, right? It's 2.0, but it's only looking at Malaysia. They're going to demonstrate that they can make this work. And that's why they also announced that there'll be no forced job cuts. So clear. So if you want to leave on your own, by all means, thank you very much. There'll be no forced job cuts, and they will be upskilling people also. And then I think one of the articles I read said that they are open to offering a VSS, voluntary separation scheme. So that's coming, and I know Cellcom had a town hall today at 4 o'clock, and of course there's heightened anxiety, right, as you can imagine. You know, probably even at the DG side, when they do their town hall, I think they already had it today also. So there'll be heightened anxiety, that's normal, but both organizations are already quite lean. They had less than 2,000 headcount. So it's going to be interesting to see how they merge and combine their entities. But I don't expect, and they're going to keep their word, they're not going to be any forced job redundancies or whatever, for at least a good year to 18 months. And then, you know, people forget about this and move on with life. And then maybe they'll start, you know, putting the finger and squeezing some units so you're not so efficient or whatever. And that's inevitable if it's going to happen. Because these are listed companies, right? No, the entity is going to be a listed company. You have shareholders to answer to, so...
And what type of government regulations will this merger be subject to?
Oh, well, you've got your, you know, you've got, obviously, you've got your we've got our anti-competitive act also with the Malaysian Competition Commission, and MCMC itself also has got a regulation which talks about anti-competitive behavior. So, you know, these two will, there's enough regulations that can handle, you know, any fears of this, either like you mentioned the word, even becoming monopoly or even unfair competition. So that's interesting. So if they feel the competition is unfair, they'll come in and say, hey, no, you can't do that. So I think consumers don't really have to worry. Actually, I would say that they don't have to worry at all, actually, at the consumer level.
Now, in response to the pandemic, do you think we'll potentially see other mergers happening?
It could. I mean, actually, I thought you would see a lot more. They haven't happened. So a merger is only going to happen because... So the pandemic, everyone knows, is the single most global, you know, change agent, right, let's say, to happen since World War II. World War II was global. The Vietnam War wasn't. The Korean War wasn't, right? Nothing. This was global. And if you look at that context, there actually have not been that many mergers or consolidation that have happened. Look at Corporate Malaysia this year, January to April now, or at this tail end of March, you've seen very few announcements of consolidation or mergers, right? So companies are a lot more resilient than we give them credit for. And I was already wrong. I predicted a lot more of these mergers would happen. They haven't happened. Whether any more will happen, I'm sure there are talks, right? But there has to be an extreme pain in that industry for mergers to happen. And really, you talk about extreme pain. Look at the airline industry, right? And travel industry, extreme pain going on there, unparalleled. But you don't see any listed companies in the travel industry or in the hospitality industry, right? Airlines talking about mergers, right, in Malaysia. So it may not happen as I or other analysts who are way smarter than me have predicted. So this wave of mergers and all, it has not really happened yet. Whether it could happen later this year as the so-called expectations of a rebound maybe, you know, doesn't happen the way people think. You know, I think the IMF said Malaysia will see 5.6 or is it 6% GDP growth this year. If globally the growth, you know, is going to be slower than projected, then you may see some reality kick in and people say, look, I've got no choice. I've held on as long as possible. We actually need to consolidate. We actually need to merge now. And in the merger, we may end up taking the back seat. And there's no choice because otherwise we're going to end up losing our business and closing down. If that's the reality, then you're going to see, you know, a lot more mergers beginning to happen.
Karamjit, thanks for weighing in.
No problem.
That was Karamjit Singh, founder of Digital News Asia, responding to the news of Celcom and Digi possibly merging to become the biggest telco provider here in the country. Do share your thoughts with us. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up on Popcorn Culture, we will be talking about all things set in the future. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.